more of our membership come back to church. And if it makes, if it takes wearing masks during the service, I think that's okay. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if they feel
we had
more
to wear them all week.
I just miss a lot of people, and I know they miss being here, and maybe that's holding some folks back from being here. And I don't want to do anything that keeps the gospel from someone or keeps them from being able to take, you know, communion on Sunday. So if that's what it takes, I feel that that's something that we should consider, or at least seriously consider. I'm so far away from you. I mean, I'll still do the service the way I am, but you know. But I just would like to see more folks come to church that you know we miss seeing every Sunday. And if that's all right with y'all, why don't we do that? Is that okay?
Well, the question is, would they come even if they were wearing a mask?
Well, I don't know. We wouldn't know until we find it. Try it.
Yeah, but
if they don't come, we'll just go back to not wearing them. Okay? I mean,
do they need to be contacted and asked?
No, we're going to hear it on this.
Oh, well, that's true. That's true.
I sent out an email yesterday or the day before asking that question, and Mark said, well, they were just sure they were going to go anywhere for a while. And Sheila and Chuck wrote that they would do what they did today. They'd wear them in church and
yeah.
take them off during the service
yeah.
and then put them back on.
Right. Well, I just have concerns about it, and how long we're going to be going with this thing, we don't know, you know, and I just want to see people back in church again and not being afraid of coming to church because of, you know, COVID-19. So, I mean, my preference is, you know what my preference is, but my preference is also that people come back to church. So if that's what it takes, let's try it.
It's kind of like what Peter said about eating the meat.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's similar. You know, if it's something that's keeping people back, then, you know, don't do it. Or do it. Yeah. Well, we can talk about it some more after the service. I just wanted to bring that up at the beginning of the service so the folks that are at home hearing this will know, because I don't know that they hear the announcements all the time. So let's begin our worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you prayed that they may forgive my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Testament reading for this morning is taken from Jeremiah 28, beginning with verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true. And bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now the word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesied peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Binding on a person only as long as he lives. Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing on opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous and good. Did that that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. Person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us join confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Or maybe I should say, grace, mercy, and conflict. 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 I think people are tired of conflict. That's nothing new, though. Conflict has been a part of life since Adam and Eve first sinned against God. Cain and Abel, we know the story. We know the stories that led all the way up to the flood. Conflict. Hearts that were hardened against God. No heart for God. Indeed, God said there is nothing but wickedness from the time they are born. That's what's in the heart of man. Conflict. The world has seen millennium after millennium of conflict and war. People fighting over different reasons. Don't believe the stuff you hear out there today. Wars are always fought over religion. That's not true. A quick look through history shows that. Wars are fought over people who want to take control because they think they know and their way is the best way. Even if it's not the best for you and me, it is to them. That's why wars are fought. Oh, sure, there are those that are fought over ideology, over religion. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. It's just not true that all wars are for that reason. The real reason is sin. It's always sin. It always goes back to that first sin in the garden when Adam and Eve turned their backs on God, when they believed that somehow they could become like God as Satan tempted them. That's what God's trying to keep from you, to be like him. And ever since, mankind has tried to be God. And it never works. It always fails miserably. Because God will not be replaced. God stands firm in his own righteousness, in his own holiness and justice. He stands firm in his love for us. Now, in the Old Testament lesson for today, we hear an interesting story, but it is only a snapshot of a bigger story. We don't hear about Hananiah and his prophecies. For you see, at a time when Jeremiah was telling the folks that doom and gloom are ahead, Hananiah was preaching peace. Peace, don't worry. As long as the temple stands in Jerusalem, we will overcome. There will be peace, and those who have been taken to Babylon already will in 2 years come back. Peace. Peace and prosperity was his message. But it wasn't God's message. And Jeremiah speaks up after him. And Jeremiah speaks the truth. You know, before us were these other prophets that came. And they proclaimed doom and gloom. Captivity. But you know, Jeremiah wanted that peace as much as anybody else. And so he says, well, a prophet who proclaims peace, that's a good thing if it comes about. But if it doesn't, then he's pointing out that man is not speaking in God's name and his words are false. Jeremiah has told the people the truth. And we heard his lament last week, how that really made him feel inside. To be the one to tell the truth, even though it sounded harsh and hurtful. And it was.
It was harsh. It was hurtful by any standards, probably in any age. People don't want to hear that God is turning his back on them because of their sins, because they have turned from him, and they look to others, other people, other leaders, other gods. God will not stand for that. God is a jealous God. God says that himself. I am a jealous God. He will not put up with a people who will worship other gods or anything else. But anything else is a god, if that's what is chief in their hearts. God wants his people to speak the truth in love. And sometimes people think, well, that means don't say anything harsh or hateful. Well, hateful is a word that perhaps means something to different people. But hateful, because you're condemning. But if God is condemning something, then is it hateful to speak that truth? Is it not love to speak the truth, that someone may know the truth and turn from it? After all, didn't we just hear Paul in his letter to the Romans saying, if it weren't for the law, I wouldn't know of sin? But once I knew the commandments, then it seemed like I couldn't help myself but do the very things it says not to do. If it said, do not covet, I want to covet even more now that I know it's the law. See how the heart is. We need to hear the truth. And the truth isn't always pleasant. The church needs to always be speaking the truth, because the church is God's voice. We don't speak our truth. We don't change the truth that God has revealed to us in his holy word. Because if we do that, then we will be proclaiming falsehood. We will be declaring lies. We will be heretics. A hard word in the church, perhaps not even politically correct to say that someone is a heretic. But all it means is this person doesn't speak the truth. He is speaking words false, and he is speaking in God's name those false things. Back to Jeremiah and Hananiah. God tells Jeremiah later, go and seek out Hananiah and tell him this. So he does. What is the message? You've been proclaiming a false word and claiming it is God's word. Well, God is going to let you know that in 2 years you will die. One might wonder, well, why 2 years? Well, time to repent, perhaps. Time to change. Turn back to God. Because isn't that what God says? And Jeremiah proclaimed that. Isaiah proclaimed it. God doesn't want anyone to die. He wants everyone to turn away from their wickedness and live. 2 years after Jeremiah told Hananiah that, Hananiah died. Jeremiah spoke the truth because God said, speak the truth. And he tells his church today, speak the truth. And what is that truth? It's a word that has not changed since it was given. It is one of God's reign. Isn't that what he told the disciples to go and proclaim? We're kind of on the end of that in this morning's gospel lesson, but remember everything he told them. We heard him list that, you know, Matthew list out who the 12 were, and he told them he was sending them out to do what he did, to proclaim the day of God's reign. Justice, peace, love between God and his people. A day of salvation, forgiveness. Go and heal those who have infirmities and disease. Heal those and cast out demons. Raise up the dead. Heal the lepers, the lame, the blind. the death. And they went out and did all those things. This was an important mission God was sending the church on, these disciples. Don't take anything with you. Don't go home and pack. You don't need to do that. You don't need a second tunic. You don't need a walking stick. You don't need anything. Just go. Go into each town in Jerusalem. Go in all of Judea. Go to towns. And whoever gives you dwelling, then stay in that place. Stay in that dwelling. Don't go from house to house, in other words, but stay in that place while you're there and proclaim this word and heal the people. But if they reject it, if they reject that message, then shake the dust off your dirt and judgment on them and go on to another place. He goes on to tell other things about this mission they are on. Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. That's shocking to us. He is the Prince of Peace. We hear it in Handel's Messiah all the time, right? He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah said it. He is Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. What does Jesus mean by that? Because Jesus is a sword of truth. And he cuts through the darkness and the lies. He cuts through all that. He cuts down in the middle of that which is most basic in society, the family unit. Right through it. The family unit is the heart of civilization. But he says it will bring disruption. Son will be against father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-laws against mother-in-laws, son-in-laws against father-in-laws, everything. And if you love your family, I'm just going to put it that way, if you love the members of your family more than me, then you can have no part of me. Unless you're willing to take up your cross. And what is that cross? Well, once faith enters your heart, it is to live as a disciple of Christ. That means understanding the truth of being a disciple. It means rejection sometimes. It means hardship. It means everything ain't going to go your way. People you thought were your friends may be your enemies because they hate the Lord. And because they hate him, Jesus says, they will hate you. A disciple isn't above his teacher. But it is good to follow our teacher, to emulate him, to be gentle and kind to those around us, to pray for those who are our enemies, but always to speak the truth and never hold back on that. Because the world out there are like lost sheep without a shepherd. That's what Jesus says. He looks out and has compassion, and he sees that the harvest is ripe. Send workers. Pray for workers. We heard all that. Keep praying for workers. Emulate our Lord, who always was in prayer. Follow his example. Follow his compassion. We can speak the truth with compassion. We can speak the truth with compassion because we know our God is a compassionate God and wants everyone to turn back to him. And if they didn't ever know him, to know who he is, so that they too may praise and give thanks to him for the salvation that he freely gives us in Christ Jesus. Christ took all the hard work on himself, and he still does the hard work. He only asks us to go and speak his word. We leave the rest to the Holy Spirit. If we are faithful, we will speak the truth in all situations and in all matters. There are many people in our country and throughout the world, for instance, that say they are Christian. Now, I'm not questioning that. But are they also living a lie? We all do in some way or another, but one big one is a woman's right to choose, once she's pregnant, to terminate that life. God's word is clear about it. Now, we can speak that compassionately. We don't have to be hateful in our speech. We can speak to these people, especially women who have already gone through abortions, because they know, and their husbands know. And they can speak compassionately because they know what that person's going through. But the truth needs to be spoken, otherwise no one will stand up for the unborn. But the church must speak up for the unborn. Now, I can have gay friends, and so can you, and you probably do. I've got some really good friends that are gay. However, I know God's word speaks against it. So I cannot stand up and say to those gay people, I can perform a marriage for you, because that's going against God's word. What I can do is speak God's truth to them, that you weren't born that way. That's what they say. But the truth is different than that. God says it's because of sin that you are that way. But we can speak it in love. Because to speak to gay people, for instance, and say you're going to hell because of what you're doing is not a voice of love. It may be that's true, but so are those who gossip going to hell. That's what God's word says also. But we are to declare the truth. The law is God's law, and there is no thing that is wrong with God's law. It is holy and good. It just puts a light into places that are dark, and it shows what is right and holy and how people ought to be. But we know also that the law shows us our sin, and we are not the way we ought to be. But that's why Christ came. That's why Christ died. He died for every single human being, for no matter what sin they committed or will commit. But we are to speak the truth and not run away from it and not be quiet about it as though it doesn't matter. Otherwise, these people that live in sin will think it is okay, even though it is not. We are called to live differently because we belong to God and we are part of His family. He brings about restoration in us. I know many gay people who are Christians, and they will not enter into a relationship because they understand that, even though they say they are drawn to the same sex. But they will not act upon it, because God and His word are more important. See, that's what Jesus was talking about. Unless you love me more than your mother, more than your father, brother, sister, cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, unless you love me more than them, you can't have anything to do. There's no relationship then between you and I, Jesus might say. We must love the Lord above all things and hear His word and follow it. we haven't the strength to do it ourselves. But God gives us His Spirit so that we can. He gives us churches that we can enter into when our souls feel pressed down and burdened, so that we can be lifted up. In a sense, a spiritual hospital, or a spiritual oasis, if you prefer, away from the hard stuff in the world, away from that. Not that being a Christian is easy. But here we can come and receive rest. Here our burdens are unloaded at the feet of Christ. Here He takes the yoke we have on ourselves off of us and puts His own yoke on us. And Jesus says, it is not heavy, it is light. He gives us His Spirit so that we can follow Him. And even when we fail, even when we do it wrong, He is quick to forgive us and say, okay, now you've learned something. Try again. And you know, we do. Because of His Spirit in us, we try again. We do not lose hope. We do not lose faith. We just get up and do it again. And every time we fall, we turn to Jesus. And He says, try again. Until one day He says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and receive the reward that has been prepared for you from the beginning. And we might be surprised and say, I was good and faithful. I fell so many times. No, you trusted in me. That's what Jesus will say. You looked to me. Well done, good and faithful servant. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Rise and join in the offering.
We give you our
beloved in the Lord, let us draw near to the Lord's throne of grace and pray as he has commanded us, trusting in the Lord to bear the prayer of his people and answer our petitions according to his mercy. O most merciful God, Lord of heaven and earth, we pray you to so rule and govern your church and all her pastors and ministers that she may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word. Defend against all adversity and protect it from all adversaries, that thereby faith may be strengthened and love increased in us. Grant health, wisdom, and integrity to all in authority over us, especially to the President of the United States, the Governor of this state, the Congress, all legislative bodies, and all judges and magistrates. Endow them with your spirit and with respect for your word, that they would serve your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the punishment of wickedness, so that we all may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. According to your gracious will, turn the hearts of our enemies and make them to walk with us in humility and peace. Grant to those in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or in any other adversity, the helpful spirit of your grace for healing, strength, comfort, and relief. Bless especially those who suffer for the sake of your name and your word. Hear us on behalf of Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galvias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, and those we name in our hearts. Give them courage to stand firm in their afflictions and patience until the day of your deliverance. Preserve us from pestilence and every evil. Give to us favorable weather and cause the fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season and offer you praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness to us. Lend your blessing to all honorable vocations and honest industry, that we may serve where our skills and abilities may be of good use. Bless the arts and music, that we may please you and be encouraged by all that is good, right, true, and beautiful. Give to all husbands and wives grace to live together in love and faithfulness. Bless the homes and families of your people, that they may be places where your name is honored and love is nurtured. Give your special grace to the widow, the orphan, all mothers with child, the aged and the infirm, that we may grant them comfort, aid, and protection. All these things for which you would have us ask of you, we pray, that you would grant to us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we are bold to call you Father, and in whose name we pray, trusting in your mercy and confident that you will give answer to our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
30. We had no anniversary this week, but Sheila and I had one last week. And we partied. That's what I do in my car. I have a big stack of them in there. And I have to say that very few people that ride with me have a mask. So I tell them I have some masks available back there if you want one. But most of the people don't put it on. But now that they've got a new law out, I guess, maybe they will. I don't know.
I think Harris.
No, Austin County doesn't, but I do all my driving in Harrisburg. Yeah. So anyway,
when I was young, this man smashed in the fence, and somebody was dreaming, jumping over there and get
it. Sheila, can you get the mask, or?
Yeah, they're $8.99 for 10.
She's got some that are really...
Well, those are $5.99 a piece.
Yeah.
So.
This is the one I used to wear. And I have to say that this one doesn't fog up. So that's why I wear this one. But
we don't have any more of those like what you've got. We've got masks that are cloth. And they're okay. But I think for the use here would be the disposable ones. But like I said, our store has them for $8.99 for 10, if we still have any, but we usually get those in weekly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want me to come get them, I'll be glad to, and just let me know how many you want.
Well, I think 20 would be enough. So
Okay.
All right. Okay. Would there be any other announcements? Yes, please. Carolyn.
I think we need to be advised about what's happened at Camp Lone Star. My granddaughter was there last week and Camp Lone Star is a Lutheran camp, youth camp, and they were closed earlier in the year, and now they close again, hoping to open the next few weeks. So keep my daughter and granddaughter in isolation now from the rest of their family and everybody else involved in Camp Lone Star. So keep them all in our prayers, please.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Carolyn. Okay, if there's
Dan, I wanted to just update you. Cheryl talked about our virtual convention last weekend, and many of you have been gracious in contributing mics, and I wanted to share with you some of the programs that we selected that will be funded. Our mics also go to offset some of the expenses of the LWL itself, so not every mic goes to a project, but a good portion of them did. So this is not in the order they were selected, but they're giving blessings and Bibles to people who have disasters, where the volunteers who work in disaster relief will present Bibles and devotional material and a credit card for immediate needs to when they minister to disaster victims. We will be funding scholarships for seminarians through the Texas District, mercy meals for the Orphan Rain Train, which goes to third world countries and also to the border with Texas and Mexico, multi-ethnic pastoral formations in Link, Houston, reaching immigrants and refugees in North Texas, so a lot of emphasis on the immigrants coming in that we want to minister to. Lutheran Student Center improvements in Lubbock for Texas Tech area for students to have a good place to come with a Christian background, which is so really good in our colleges. BCE scholarships through Concordia University of Texas. An urban-based camp outreach. Now, I don't know how this will be affected by the COVID, but Camp Lone Star is trying to take some of the camp experiences in the inner city so that kids that don't have an opportunity to come out to camp will be able to do that. So hopefully with the COVID virus, that'll maybe not be on hold, but we'll go forward with planning. There's an e-kids after school program for children in an impoverished Latino area in Greater Dallas. Those kids will be helped with homework and learn about the love of Jesus. There's a church in San Antonio that's trying an interesting thing where one Saturday or Friday night a month they have food and games and devotionals and crafts at a local laundromat where they come in and bring all these activities and they help the poorer families get their laundry done. They're creating a network of hope where people are driving elderly people and poor people to doctors. And then there's translation of Lutheran LWL Bible studies into Russian and Ukrainian. So there's a lot of work going on from the Texas District. And our entire budget for the district project will be $210,000, $210,327. So that's a pretty good mission grant project for us. So thank you for your faithfulness and helping.
Okay, thanks, Peggy. Okay, if there's no other announcements, let's close with...